Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and we're going through our series in Romans chapter 8. And today we'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, about being sons and daughters of the living God. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we want your glory to be all over this broadcast. Strengthen it. Strengthen our words. Strengthen our minds and our hearts. Let these words go deep into our souls. Let the truth of God burst forth now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. There's quite a bit of complex material here, but let's just start right at the beginning. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Before, in the last verses, we looked at people who were running around after the flesh. And they were not being led by the Spirit. They were being led by their own flesh into all sorts of appetites and lusts and foolishness. So we found out that the people who were being led by the flesh could not please God and were heading into spiritual death. And that someone who was living according to the flesh was going to die spiritually. And we had a terrible warning about that in the last broadcast. But in this broadcast, we're looking at the opposite side of the coin. People who are being led by the Spirit, people who are being led by God, people who are listening to God and who are living the Spirit-filled life. And these are the opposite to the people who are living by the flesh in the world and who are pushing God off to one side. So it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So if your life is walking in the Spirit, if you're being led by the Spirit, if you're obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ, if you're putting away your fleshly appetites and crucifying them, then you are a son or a daughter of the living God, because you're starting to walk the God-filled life. He is in you. Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. The Spirit of God is within you. And as we see in verse 9, let's go back to verse 9 and verse 10. Whoever... You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And it goes on like this. So we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, all dwelling in us, because God's a Trinity. He's not sliced up into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God has made his home in us. And we are his temple. We're a temple of the living God. We're a temple of the Trinity. And he dwells in your body, in your mind, in your spirit. And he leads you in the way that you should go. And this isn't just about who you marry or what college you go to or what job you take. God leads you in your moral orientation. He leads you towards righteousness. He leads you towards peace. He leads you towards forgiveness and reconciliation. God leads you out of the darkness into the light. He leads you out of your ego and into love. He leads you out of your bitterness and into a calmness of spirit and a joy of heart and mind. It's not where you go physically that matters so much. It's where you go spiritually. Are you going into the darkness or into the light? Are you going into the spirit or into the flesh? And God will always lead you towards the light. He will always lead you towards that as holy and righteous and good. And the leading of God is always towards a more ethical life, a more wonderful life, a joyful, peaceful, godly, patient, good and kind life. And God's always leading you in that direction, and he's telling you to forgive and forget and to get over things, and he leads you out of the place where your selfish, whiny ego will take you every single time. He's leading you out of the place where your lust will take you every single time. He's leading you into purity and truth, and he's taking you step by step towards heaven. And so don't worry about the other things so much as that you're staying in the will of God and in the nature of God. God will always lead you towards his own nature, which is love. So God's always leading you towards being a more loving person in every way and every day. And so for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then it goes on, verse 15, Romans 8, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. See, under the law, under all the rules and regulations of the law of Moses, it was like being enslaved. You had to do this, you had to do that, you had to obey this rule and that rule. If you lived in a very strict house growing up and there was a rule for this and a rule for that, you might know what this is like. It feels like slavery. And that's what the law of Moses felt like. So many things were regulated. Your food, your drink, your festivals, your coming out, your going in. Everything had a law to it, and the Pharisees added to those laws. And life was miserable, and you haven't received that spirit of slavery and fear again. For you have not received a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. So you're not going to go back to all those rules and regulations of the law of Moses or some religious system or some cult. But you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So you have found out now that you're a son of God and a daughter of God. And Abba is just an Aramaic word for daddy. It's an intimate word. You can go to whom who is on the throne, who dwells in you, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. You can go to God through Jesus, and you can call him your heavenly Father. You are no longer under the strict taskmaster of the law. You're no longer under old religion. You're under the law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your heavenly Father with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. So you're under the law of love. You're a son or a daughter. You're in relationship with God now. You're in relationship with Jesus. You're in relationship with heaven. And you can be full of joy and peace knowing that you're a son of the living God if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. And you're not walking in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Because if you're being walking in the Spirit, if you're led as a son of God or a daughter of God in your life, you are now moving at the heavenly frequency and not at the frequency of your own self, your own anger, your own complexes and neurotic behavior. You're moving right out of that into heavenly behavior now because you're a son of God and God is your Father and you've got a real identity in Christ Jesus. And then it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So God will tell you, the Holy Spirit will tell you that you are God's child. And as it says in 1 John chapter 3, how great the love the Father has towards us that we should be called children of God. God calls you his child. He says you're a member of his household, that you're going to come into an inheritance, that you are loved of the Heavenly Father, the creator of the heavens, the earth, the seas, the springs of water, loves you if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. If you're a rebel against God, you abide under his wrath. But if any time you want, you can repent and turn around to God and come into the love of God and become a son and daughter of the living God. And then the Holy Spirit will tell you, you're a child of God. Don't worry about this world. Don't worry about what it thinks. Don't worry about criticism. You are loved by your heavenly Father, and that makes all the difference, and that's going to change your life in the biggest and most possible ways. So God, the heavenly Father, will speak to you deep down inside you and tell you that you're a child of the living God. And then verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of Christ and fellow heirs with God, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. I'll read that again because I mumbled and messed it up. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So we inherit, we have an inheritance from God and we are fellow heirs with Christ, who is our elder brother. So what's all this about? Well, if you read the rest of the Bible, especially Colossians, chapter 1, you'll realize that God made the universe for Jesus. All things were made for him and through him, and in him all things consist. So the universe, all the stars, all the planets, all the laws of nature, everything out there, that whole world was made for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's his inheritance. And he is the heir of all things, in heaven and on earth, and he has been given authority over all things in heaven and on earth. And that happened as he ascended into heaven and was enthroned in heaven after the resurrection. He was declared to be the Son of God with power at the resurrection. And after the resurrection, he's starting to move into an inheritance of power over this universe. And his brothers and sisters, you and I, we share in that heavenly inheritance. And we will share this universe with Jesus Christ. And he took on flesh so he can take us up and make us heirs of God as well. So Jesus inherits the universe. It's God's gift to him. And we share that gift. Not equally. We each get assigned a part of that inheritance according to how we have lived our life. And those who burn up their lives in sin have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. The inheritance is a very big issue, and you need to live a life of quality and holiness and joy and peace. You need to live a life in the Spirit if you're going to have any inheritance at all in the kingdom of God. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist to have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, but you do need to live an unselfish life. You do need to live a life of love. You do need to be filled with the Holy Ghost no matter what you're doing, whether you're raising children, farming, mending shoes, digging up the road, whatever you're doing, you can do that and receive an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Even if you're in the military, even if you're in the police, no matter what you're doing, you can still have an inheritance in heaven if you do all those things to the glory of God, which God was what God is asking you to do. So you're coming into an inheritance which you will receive in its fullness at the resurrection when you receive your body, your new spiritual body, and with God assigns to you a place in the kingdom where you can serve for the rest of eternity and also be a beloved child. It's not just about working for God, it's also being loved by God into maturity. And then it says, how do we get this inheritance? If indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. We'll talk more about that next week. But we have to suffer with Christ. God isn't here to make it easy. We live in a world full of demons that's hostile to us. We live in a world that has contempt for Christians. Many Christians are tortured and killed around the world. And we have to suffer for Christ. We have to pick up our cross daily, put away the lust of the flesh, and that feels like suffering when we have to give up our sins, but it's a light suffering. We throw our sins away and we pursue Jesus, and we take on the sufferings that Christ had in this world of being reviled and spat on and argued with and tormented and the pressure of the scribes and the Pharisees. We go outside the gate with Jesus Christ. We suffer as he suffered in this world because this world is hostile to those that are holy. And in 1 Timothy 3:10, it says, all who live godly for Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And even here in America, it's getting more and more the case as people are getting more and more anti-Christian. So you have to identify with Christ. You have to say, yes, I'm with Christ. I am a Christian. I am openly a Christian. I will walk with him. I will bear his nature. I will bear his yoke. I will take up the cross daily and follow him. And if you're prepared to suffer with Jesus, if you're prepared to suffer as a Christian and suffer the putting aside of your sins, suffer identity with Christ, suffer the things that the devil inflicts upon Christians, then you will have a great inheritance, a great and vast inheritance, which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the minds of man. So you're a son or a daughter of the living God. You have a massive inheritance. But in this life, being a spiritual person is tough. Being a holy person is tough. And so you're going to have to suffer with Jesus to move into that inheritance, to move into the kingdom of God. You can't just have all the comforts of sin. You must identify with Jesus and walk away from your lower nature and from your flesh. This is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments. God bless your day. In Jesus' name, amen.